Hi, everyone. Before we start the episode, I have an important announcement for our listeners in the UK. Geo Business is back. This year, the conference is happening on the 3rd and 4th of June at Excel London. Free registration is now open. Here's why you should be there. Whether you work in urban planning, environmental management, construction, or any field where location data matters, GeoBusiness is something for you. You'll discover real-world cases of geospatial technology, get hands-on with the latest innovations, and hear from leading industry experts solving actual business challenges. Experience live demos, insightful seminars, and network with thousands of professionals using location intelligence in exciting ways. If you want to stay ahead in this rapidly evolving space, this is where it happens. Join me at GeoBusiness on June 3rd and 4th. It's where the Geo community comes together. Register today and I'll see you there. Now on to the episode. Welcome to the GeoMob podcast, where we discuss geo innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Ed.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, except I seem to have got a massive dose of hay fever from tree pollen.
Spring is in the air. Is true. Yes.
So. Yeah, but the sun is shining, and so let's not complain about it too much.
Indeed. It's early Friday afternoon. It is the 24th of April that we're recording on. So heading into a nice spring weekend. And actually, I am basking in the positive glow of a very successful GeoMob Berlin that we had last night. Also, last week I was in Cologne for the very first GeoMob Cologne, which we need to recap.
Right.
So we have a lot to talk about.
But we are going to record in English.
We are going to record in English. Yes, that's true.
Thank goodness for that.
GeoMob Cologne was in English. Also, GeoMob in Berlin, all the tech events are in English. So
yeah.
Anyway, so shall I dive into my summary of these events?
Yeah, let's go with Cologne first, since it happened before Berlin, that seems.
It was last week. I hopped on the train and went over to Cologne. Very lovely city. I don't know if you've ever been there. Of course, famous for the cathedral right on the Rhine. First of all, a big thanks to Christoph Friedrich, who was kind of our local organizer there. I had not realized this, but he actually was an intern at Geolytics a couple years ago, but prior to COVID, and he had attended several GeoMob Londons. Okay. And that was how he kind of became aware of GeoMob. And so he wanted to get this going in Cologne. And happily, his company, he works at a company called GRASS, which does all kinds of Earth observation and geospatial analysis based on Earth observation data and things like that. And they agreed to host us at their offices. So it was the first event. We probably about 30 people, you know. So I would say it was a very solid start. We had some very good talks. I talked about geocoding.
I can see the joy of geocoding.
So yes.
You lied.
Well, that's the twist in the talk, of course, that there is no joy in geocoding. And But nevertheless, people seemed to like it and laughed at the right places. So it went well. We had a couple other very interesting talks as well. One about the work they do at GRASS. We had one about routing. We had a guy there who was very very experienced in the realm of routing, using the Valhalla routing engine.
What on earth is a Valhalla routing engine? I thought that
there are several
Vikings went.
I don't know. You know, you got to pick a name for these things. So there are kind of, to my knowledge, there are kind of three, let's say, well-known routing engines based on OpenStreetMap. So one is GraphHopper.
Right.
One is Valhalla, which GraphHopper is a very interesting company. They're also based here in Germany, and it's the kind of model of it's an open source software, and then there's also a company that builds on top of that. Valhalla spun out of the MapZen effort.
Oh, right.
I believe many years ago. And then there's a thing called OSRM, the OpenStreetMap Routing Machine or something. I don't know. Anyway, so there are these different projects all trying to do it in different ways. And You know, it's a very hot topic, obviously, because all the different kinds of routing and things like that. So anyway, the point is, interesting talks. If anyone, we'll have a link in the show notes to the kind of summary post that we did with some pictures. And then we headed off to the bar and had some very good discussions. Very interesting people doing cool stuff there in the Cologne, Bonn region. If I recall correctly, you were out there a couple of years ago for Phosphor G, is that right?
Yeah, it's more than a couple of years, but yeah.
Right.
I mean, Cologne and Bonn are sort of next door to each other virtually, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're kind of, it's the same kind of general area.
Yeah,
are they?
Yeah, I was out there for Phosphor G. It was fantastic. I mean, fabulous city. That's the one where we stayed in this... there was this warehouse that was full of caravans.
Okay. Oh, in the building was caravans, I see.
And train and sleeper carriages from trains. It was really weird and it was fantastic fun. I mean...
Very cool.
It was really cool. But no, it was a great city. And there's a lot of geotech businesses around
there,
that area.
There are, and there are a lot of people there. Several of the attendees were people who are very active kind of in the German... OSGeo ecosystem.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully, you know, that was the first GeoMob Cologne of many to come.
Yeah, so, I could see that you had Lennart from Mundialis there, which is another one of the open source businesses around that area. And there's a very tight fusion, it seems, between the OSM and the OSGeo communities there.
Yes, so in Germany we have this organization Foskis, yeah. which is started originally as the equivalent of OSGeo, and it also is the organization for the German speaking or the German OpenStreetMap community, and they always have the conferences. It's one conference. Yeah. So right. So yeah.
So then you hopped on a train and came home because you had another gig in Berlin.
Right, so then I was back in Berlin, and 1 week later we had GeoMob Berlin. So, Stephen, it was great. I mean, this was our biggest event ever. If anything, we only have one problem. It's getting too big. I mean, we have too many people, and finding a suitable venue is proving problematic so that we don't have to close the sign-up. So, fortunately, this time... our friends at Mapbox, who have, you know, they have several team members here in Berlin, and I guess they mainly work out of a co-working space. And so they were able to fund, they talked with that co-working space and enable us to use the co-working space. So big thanks to Mapbox for funding that and supporting us with that. It was big. With a lot of people. Five very good talks. I won't go through them in great detail. People can see them on the summary thread that's linked in the show notes. But good mix. The one that I do want to mention is near and dear to my heart was our first speaker, who is Sarah Hoffman.
Yeah,
who works.
And I wanted to ask you about that one.
Yeah, so she works on Nominatum and also has been heavily involved in OpenStreetMap for many, many years. She was on the OpenStreetMap Foundation several years ago on the board. So she came and gave a talk all about a new feature in Nominatum. So that was very interesting for me, but all of the talks were good. The talk, we had a speaker from Mapbox that was, I personally liked quite a lot. Neither one of them won the best speaker prize, though. That went to a woman who just completed her PhD on kind of using Earth observation and geospatial analysis around tracking permafrost melting. We had a very interesting talk about indoor mapping. Gilles, who is a GeoMob regular. We, of course, also had an AI-related talk. So very cool stuff going on. And then we headed right across the street from this co-working space is the Hofbräuhaus, which is a little bit, you know, kind of fish out of water, because obviously Hofbräuhaus comes from Bavaria and we're in Berlin. But the good thing about the Hofbräuhaus, it is a little kitschy. However, they are very well equipped to handle a large group. And so we showed up with, I don't know, it must have been about like 80 people. And we had a lot of fun and a lot of good conversations. And, you know, we have the core group of regulars that are there every time, but we're starting to get more and more interesting people coming through. One thing I do have to say that is great about JMR Berlin, we have a very, I would say we have the best gender balance of any of the cities. We have a very high proportion of women relative to in the other cities. So that's great to see. And right. We had several people volunteering to speak at future events. And the only problem is really we need to get on top of this venue. We need if anyone out there listening can help us get a large venue, preferably for free, obviously. It really makes me appreciate, Stephen, how fortunate we are in London to have Geovation.
Yeah.
And also the connection with UCL through Mookie. You know, the event is only possible because Geovation or UCL let us use their spaces. And without that, it's a bit of a nightmare. And so in Berlin, kind of from event to event, we're kind of scrambling. And some companies can host us, but typically they don't, you know, they can fit maybe 50 people or so, but not more. And so it's proving problematic. And really that's the barrier to us having more events. So,
yeah. And you really we need to find a company that's got that sort of space, you know, I mean, and Geovation, and who wants to be sort of identified as the sponsor of Geomob, you know, and I mean,
exactly.
I know we keep saying it, but we just have to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Geomob because they have been fantastic to us.
They have been fantastic. And yes, we need to find comparable organizations in Berlin. So yeah. And in other cities. So,
But it's the problem of success. It's the problem of success.
You know? It is the problem of success. And similarly, Stephen, the other problem of success was our bar tab, which for the first time we hit €1,000 in Berlin. So yeah, we need to find more sponsors, or we may have to change the format a bit, and maybe we can only, you know, pay for everyone's first drink or something like that. So, which would be a pity because, you know, last night it was just great. You could see everyone really having fun, connecting. Also, there were, you know, a lot of people, you know, are looking for jobs and things. Some people are hiring. And so a lot of people are kind of, you know, making useful connections. So
I'd argue that people come to Geomob for the talks, for the networking, and the free drinks facilitate that, but they're not the reason that they come.
So, agree, Stephen. But what
so
I can tell you,
one drink ticket, for example, and then you pay for your own beers.
Yeah, that could work. But what I can say is this: I've been to many, many technical meetups over the years, and a lot of places, they do it where, you know, they'll have some talks or whatever, and then they'll have some drinks and maybe some appetizers or something at the venue. It's not the same. Yeah. It's not the same. Yeah, like moving to a bar, which first of all is, you know, designed for that type of interaction. You know, it just leads to a more open discussion and more interaction and more mingling. And we saw it in Cologne, and we saw it in, you know, obviously we always see it in London when we go to the pub. So obviously it's not about consuming alcohol. People, you know, many people don't drink beer or anything. No one should feel any obligation to drink alcohol. It's more about just moving to, like, signaling to everyone, like, okay, now it's about socializing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying that as we become more and more successful, we may need to cap the bar bill at the first drink for everybody.
We may need to. I would find it unfortunate, but that may be necessary.
Yeah,
yeah, sorry.
I mean, particularly if, you know, in some places where we may we may have to resign ourselves to renting an event space.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't. I mean, it's just not financeable at the moment to rent a venue and pay for 2-3 rounds of drinks for all the attendees.
Right.
But
so.
Nice problems, Ed.
These are nice problems to have, and actually, we have we have a full run of events coming up. So I encourage everyone to check the website. We have events coming up in May in Edinburgh and Lisbon.
Yep.
Then we also on May 20th we're back in London at Geovation, which unfortunately we are very shortly going to have to cap the sign up on that. Because we have too many, it's getting full.
I better sign up.
You better sign up, Stephen. It would be a pity to have to turn you away. And
I might not accept it.
And then unfortunately I'm not going to be able to attend. But then at the end of May we have our very first Canadian event in Fredericton.
Oh yes,
in New Brunswick. So. I'm curious to see the photos of how that goes, and maybe in the future I'll be able to get over there at some point. But then, Stephen, some very exciting news. In early June, I am going to go hop on a plane to Dublin. We are going to have the first YoMob Dublin on the 3rd of June, and actually I'm going to be speaking. I'm going to give a new version of my The Joy of Geocoding talk. So we have some great organizers in Dublin, and I'm really looking forward to that. So
great city
should be a very fun night. A thriving tech scene, I'm told. So let's see. So
you have to drink the local beer.
I'm willing to do it, Stephen. I'm willing to do it for that. And then by looking much farther ahead at the end of the summer or after the summer, we will be back in London in September on September 16th, where we have one speaker already confirmed. And that is you, Stephen. You, exactly. Do you want to give a teaser of what you'll be talking about?
Okay. So, some of our listeners will know that I've been playing around with vibe coding maps and stuff. And I've been blogging and writing about the whole experience and trying to leave some tips about what works and what doesn't work for other people who might want to do this. And so I'm going to be talking about vibe coding. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to talk about. I might talk about the trials and tribulations of making one map. Arno and I have a project. I don't know whether it will be done by then, in which case we might talk about that. It will be something like that. And I also produced, which we'll put in the show notes, there's now about a dozen maps and there's a dozen blog posts that go with each map that talk about the challenges. And I vibe coded a little sort of custom page in my WordPress site, which gathers all of these maps and all of the posts and presents them in a nice looking map gallery. So you can now, if you suddenly want to go and look at one of my maps, they're all listed there. And I don't know whether you read about this, Ed, but you know, there's a massive hike in petrol prices. I'm sure it's going on in Berlin.
Yeah, of course, obviously. Yeah. I mean, a Middle East war will do that. Yeah.
And there was an article, I can't remember, in one of the sort of broadsheet newspapers ridiculing there's been a flurry of fine, cheap fuel near me applications being built.
Sure.
And they all feed off a UK government API, because the UK government has required all the petrol retailers in the country to...
What, to submit their pricing?
Hang on, we've got a bell ringing here. Let me just switch it off. I thought I'd switched off all my notifications. I apologize, everybody. So the government has this API where petrol retailers have to update the latest prices on fuel. And it was really cool because there's a load of petrol stations in the North Sea. There are petrol stations in northern France and Belgium. There's all sorts of other flaws in the data. I mean, it's quite understandable. You know, if you get 7,000 petrol stations to submit their data, they're going to get the coordinates, the long and the lat reverse. They're going to get the prices wrong. So I thought I'd build something that was better than some of the bad things that were about. And it took me into places that I was really astounded that I'd got to. So first of all, hooking up to an API and writing scripts to download the API and hiding API keys and things like that so other people couldn't use it. I mean, it was really complicated. And then I had to discover what a cron job is.
Okay.
And I can see you laughing there, but yeah, I mean, to me, this was, you know, I mean, I now know what a cron job is. I'm not sure that I fully understand how they work, why they work, but they do seem to work if you set them up correctly. So if you go to my map gallery and you live in the UK and you want to find out where is the nearest petrol station to you with low prices, because it's actually not much use to have to drive 20 miles to find cheap petrol, because it's probably cost you more to get there than it's worth. But, you know, within a 2 or 3 mile radius of you, it might be worth having a look at this thing. And you'll find it on there. Anyway, it's been a lot of fun. And I continuously learn stuff.
Your project reminds me of the you know, your comment about petrol stations in the middle of the North Sea. I can remember when I lived in the UK one time working on a project where we discovered kind of the British equivalent of Null Island. We called it Silly Island. So in the UK, actually, some data sets, they don't have coordinates. They have the Ordnance Surveys, Eastings and Northings.
Right.
Right. And which, of course, don't cover the whole world. They cover only kind of the British islands. And, you know, you can have the situation just like with coordinates. If people put in bad data and you end up at 00, you end up at Null Island. So the equivalent of this for the Eastings and Northings.
Oh, it's somewhere off the Scilly Islands, isn't it?
It is off the Scilly Islands, yes. Yeah. So we called it Scilly Island, and you would have this cluster down there where you had an Easting and Northing of 00.
It's the bottom left-hand corner of the national grid. Yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to a talk in September.
Yeah.
We currently still have a few open speaking slots, so if anyone would like to volunteer to speak.
I've got an ask as well. Sorry, I forgot to mention this. I've got an ask. I've got a brain freeze at the moment, and I can't think of what the next map should be. So if anybody listening has got an idea of what they'd like to see me try and map, chuck it at me, and maybe it'll be the one that I map next.
Okay, very nice.
I remember somebody said to me, map the GeoMob events, and I did.
Yes, but Stephen, we are, which I still need to get on the site, but we've hit exactly the dilemma that I anticipated of the list is now out of date. We have new events, so who's gonna update that list? So, you know, we need to build a whole workflow whereby hopefully all new events get added automatically, kind of thing. That remains the bottleneck.
Okay.
So,
if I do that for you,
you can do, if you do that for us, then we'll get it on there. So that's the only issue is how do we keep it current and how do we keep it fresh? I do want to switch topics here and mention one thing, Stephen, before we kind of wrap up, unless you have other things you want to talk about. The reason, of course, we're able to plan so far ahead with GeoMob London in September, as we mentioned, is because GeoVation very generously always makes their space available for us, which is absolutely fantastic. And they, you know, of course, we're very happy to reciprocate and try to help them in any way possible. And they have contacted me saying that they really want to put out the word about their Ecosystem Explorer membership, which is free for individuals. So, and basically, you know, just by registering, then you're able to, you know, work at Geovation using their hot desks. You get invited to some of their events, which are both in person and online, I think. So even if you're not in London, you can still participate. And I can just say, for me, as someone who, you know, is now occasionally in London, and I always work out of Geovation, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It's such a resource. And I highly, highly encourage everyone to check it out. And we are going to work on getting someone from Geovation here on the podcast to give us an update on all the new things they have going on there.
And I'd echo that. If you're in the UK and you need to find somewhere to work in London, this is the most fantastic space to work. It's great. It's a geo space, you know. If you work in geo, you will almost certainly bump into somebody there that you know or that you wanted to know. It's a fantastic opportunity, great people. We at GeoMob are incredibly fortunate that we have Geovation as our venue sponsor, partner. But the whole geo community in the UK should be grateful that we've got Geovation, because it is just a fantastic resource. And I would mention that I was there when it started, but that's probably too long ago and I need to forget that. But it's just gone on to be a fantastic resource. And so thank you to Geovation for everything you do.
Yes, and we benefit from them letting us use us for their events, but they have many other also very worthwhile events that people should check out. It is fantastic. So please, everyone, sign up for their Ecosystem Explorer membership, and we're going to have more updates about that, hopefully in a standalone episode in the near future.
Okay, so it's May the 20th.
May 20th is our next London event, yes.
Yeah.
So, right. We have anything else to cover here, Stephen?
No, I think that's
a good wrap-up.
That's a good wrap-up. It's been great talking to you.
Always a pleasure, Stephen. See you soon.
I'm going back to my hay fever.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.